Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Last week we ended with a prayer of a cry and a plea to God to forgive us, acknowledging our faults, our sins, our shortcomings before a holy God and asking that he would wash us and cleanse us and try us again. And this week we'd like to continue on in that same vein when we think about what has been called the fivefold ministry that God has given to the body of Christ that's listed there in Ephesians chapter 4.
I'm going to start at Ephesians 4 verse 8 where it says, "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." And the reason why he gave these gifts to the body of Christ is in verse 12 and 13 and 14. It says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And I read Ephesians 4 verse 8 down to the 16th verse. And I believe that right now that God is calling for those giftings to arise and begin to do the things of the Lord. If you look at verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles."
The purpose of all of the gifts is that God would bring the church into maturity and be like him so that we would grow up and no longer be children, but it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All of these ministries work together. The gifts work together, not competing one with another.
The first one is the apostle, and the purpose of the apostle is to set order and to set structure in the church. They're the ones that many times you will hear that they are the ones that are sent. They're like messengers to go forth. Sometimes you see apostles establishing other churches in different areas. That person's purpose is to provide order and to provide structure. When you look in the Bible and you see the Apostle Paul, you know that he had established many churches. And not only that, but they would go about, he would go back and check up on the health of the church to find out if they're doing the word of God, to find out what are the problems in the church, to begin to address them so that they will come in order. They are also there to provide the structure in the church.
They
as
help
well.
Set up that governance and that spiritual authority in the kingdom of God amongst the people of God.
Absolutely. And then you have the prophets. And this is one of the things that we are even praying for even the more, is that the prophets begin to rise up up and speak the word of God. Surely we need to hear a word from the Lord in our congregations and in the land. And if you look in the Bible, you'll see the prophets such as Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and others that God sent forth to give a word to the body of Christ, to tell them what thus saith the Lord. Either it was a word of repentance, it was either to tell them what was getting ready to happen in their midst. The prophet is also to give direction. What is the Lord saying? What should we be doing? Where should we be going?
The prophets reveal God's heart to the people. They give that guidance to individuals and to the body, and they give revelation as well as interpretation often, and even the application and timing of the word of God. I mean, if you think about the evangelist is the one that energizes and they create converts. The evangelist is there to draw men unto Christ and to see them converted and saved, while the prophet really trains and creates disciples, and the evangelist converts and really draws men and women unto Christ.
The pastor is one that we find that is also common. I mean, we can recognize the office of the pastor. Some people feel that the apostles and the prophets, that gift is done away with, but it is not. But what we do see is the pastor, he or she are the one that tends to the spiritual growth of the sheep. We are identified with sheep. And so the pastor is the one that shall teach the sheep. He should nurture the sheep. He should train the sheep.
And the pastor is a type of Christ, the shepherd, the great shepherd. And so when you read in Psalms 23 about the Lord is my shepherd, and he is the ultimate great shepherd, but the pastor is the under shepherd. So the pastor has the heart of the church, and he shepherds the people of God, just like the Lord shepherds his sheep in the body of Christ. And he wants to feed them and to equip them and to see them grow and develop. And a lot of times people think that the pastor is the one who does all of these things, but there are five distinct areas of ministry for apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Many times a pastor may be gifted to operate in more than
right.
one of the offices, but there are distinct positions and offices for these fivefold ministries, and the pastor is that one that is the heart of the church, and that is where in our current day, that is, as you said, the one that we most often identify with. It is the most recognized today of all of the fivefold ministry, but because of lack of understanding, some of the other four, we think that they are obsolete. I do not believe they are obsolete in any measure. And then the teacher, sometimes we overlook the teacher because we just lump the teacher in with the other, but there are those who are called to teach.
That's right.
And unfortunately, if you're called to teach, we automatically put you behind a pulpit to preach. And there is a difference between preaching and teaching, and we automatically think that every teacher is a preacher, and that is not the case. But the teachers are there to teach and to edify the church, imparting divine life and anointing to the listeners who become hungry for the word of God. The teacher illuminates the scriptures and brings forth truth never seen by the listeners before. The prophets reveal the heart of God. The teachers reveal the mind of God. Prophets and teachers balance each other in the church, and that can sometimes, it might seem like it creates a tension, but if everyone is operating in their office that God has called them to, then as the scripture says, we will be fitly joined together,
right.
And everyone supplying to the body what is needed from what God has given you. It's just like I was telling some people before, it's just like a puzzle. You pull the pieces out of a box and all of the pieces are there, but until you put them together and they do fitly join together, when you find the right piece and connect it to its right piece, it will fitly join together. And if you've ever done a large puzzle, you know how frustrating that can be—to be looking for one little piece. You can find 500 other pieces, but it's that one that drives you crazy. And when you get it, you've tried 18 pieces in its place, and none of them fit right. But when you find the one that really goes there, it will fit there so precisely and succinctly that you know this is the one that goes there. 10 others look like they fit there. 15 others could have gone there if I would have forced it, but only one rightly fits in the place. And that's the problem, LJ Renee, is that we have so many people out of place in the body of Christ. And the problem is not just that you're out of place, but when you're out of place, if I put the wrong piece in the wrong place, then it keeps the right piece from being in its right place. Amen. There was a person that wrote a book and it said getting the right people on the bus or on your team, but not just the right people on the bus, not just the right people in the church, but they got to be in the right seat. We might all be in the church, but if you're not operating where you're supposed to be, listen, I would love to sing like a Yolanda Adams or some wonderful singer, but the truth of the matter is I can't sing like them. So it doesn't do any good for me to put myself up and be the praise leader when we have anointed psalmists that are sitting there and their spirits are hungry and dying because they want to use the gift that God has given them. But I put myself out of place. And when I put myself out of place, I just made it impossible for them somebody to be else in the place because I took the place where they belong.
You know what? You just talked about the puzzle. You know, with a puzzle, the pieces are scattered all over the place. But it takes that person that is doing the puzzle to put the pieces in the right place.
And patience.
You know, and patience. And you know, you might start on the edges when you first start out. But as you begin to start filling in those places, that's when the picture becomes evident.
And you
that
know what's so wonderful?
Just like what just you like see the on box. The box.
And you know what? Your aunt Alcina is the one that got me hooked on puzzles.
Yeah, she does the puzzles.
Many years ago, she got me hooked on puzzles. Yes. And I remember when I was at her house, I was thinking, oh, how boring this is going to be. But I got so hooked on it. And we did start with the edges. You have a picture. You know what it's supposed to look
you
like.
You got a pattern.
You have a pattern to
God
follow.
God has
given us a pattern in the Word of
yes
God. When everything is fit together like it's supposed to be, this is the way it's going to work. And then he goes above and beyond, and he even tells you when it's not working the way it's supposed to work. Then you have James 3:16. You have confusion and strife and every evil work. So when you look at the puzzle that you're putting together, if it doesn't resemble the picture on the box, if the waterfall is on the left and not on the right, if the sky is on the bottom and not on the top, you've got the pieces in the wrong place and you've got to start over. So that's the heart of the pastor. He's been given that heart of a shepherd to know and discern that this one has a gift for that and that one has a gift for that. And it is his job or her job to put the pieces in the place where they belong.
See, that could be symbolic of when you're doing a puzzle and you cannot see what it looks like because it doesn't match the pattern that's on the box. That's what's happening even in today. And I really believe that's the reason why, one of the reasons why the Lord is saying, pray for the fivefold ministry, is because when they're not in order, the world cannot see who God is. We are to be built up in Christ. We are the ones that's supposed to reflect Jesus Christ. We are the ones that's supposed to be preparing others for the work of the ministries. And so when we don't have that unity, when the offices are not operating together, then the world cannot see nor distinguish what is the church and what is not the church. And this is the reason why that God has given us this scripture. Another reason is
it doesn't look like Christ. We're supposed to resemble Christ. So what they
formed
see
in his image.
Absolutely. And what they see when we have bickering and strife and every evil work is not the God who said, I am the Prince of Peace. I mean, he's the Prince of, we ought to be able to come together and work in unity and have cohesiveness in the things that we do. There shouldn't be envying and strife because I don't want the position you have because he gave me one for myself.
That's
I
right.
don't want to do what you do because he gave me something to do for myself.
That's
if he called you to
no
be a pastor, I shouldn't
thing.
Be competing against
That's
the
right.
pastor across town. He gave you a place to minister where you are. He gave you sheep and followers where you are. And I believe, LJ Renee, that in every local assembly, God has placed in that body everything that body of Christ needs for that local assembly. The reason why we don't see things operating is because you haven't tapped the gifts that he gave you.
Right.
You're looking for one coming down the middle aisle in a three-piece suit. You're looking for one cleaned up and polished.
Or a man,
and God
or a
is,
woman.
And you're looking for a man and it might be a woman. You're looking for a woman and it might be a teenager.
Right.
God has sent you the gifts you need. You've got to quit looking on the outward appearance and say, Lord God, let me see their heart. Would you reveal to me the gifts that you have sent me that I might utilize them accordingly and effectively in the body of Christ, that all the gifts that God sends you might be utilized. There shouldn't be one gift sitting there unwrapped. When Christmas just passed, how many gifts still sit in your living room unopened? God doesn't want you to let the gifts of God sit in the house of God unopened. You need to unwrap every gift, use every gift, exercise every gift, utilize every gift. He didn't give it to you that it might sit in the back corner in obscurity. He gave it to you that it might be utilized. Now, not all gifts are for the four walls of the church, but all gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ and for the glory of God. And every gift ought to be used to his glory.
Amen. And I really believe that's another reason why the Lord says pray for the fivefold ministry, is because we have to train individuals who have gifts. That's the reason why many people are probably frustrated in the church, is because they're sitting in the congregation and they don't know where they fit. They don't have the opportunity to exercise the gift that God has given them. And it's not that they're trying to be recognized and they're trying to be the head honcho, but they have a gift that's not being utilized. It's the same with any of us. If we're just sitting down and we're not being used the way God has called us to be used, then what happens? We become withdrawn. We are looking at now where the pastor is fulfilling every one of these roles. You have the pastor that is fulfilling or trying to fulfill the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and wearing himself out,
but,
or just
well,
not
why do
recognizing
you think that a pastor would not want to. I mean, it just seems like you would want to use those gifts. I mean, wouldn't you just wear yourself thin and run yourself ragged trying to do everything? I went to a service several years ago, never went back, but the pastor did everything. The pastor sang in the opening. The pastor did the prayer.
Offering, huh?
The pastor took the offering. The pastor read the announcements, and the pastor got up to preach. There was only one thing the pastor didn't do. He didn't pray the altar prayer, but he let his wife pray the altar prayer. And I said, my God, what about all the gifts in this body? How frustrated must they be to be sitting there untapped, unused? Come on, you got to allow the gifts in the body of Christ to be utilized for the glory of God. And every time they get up, the first time I prayed, I didn't pray the first time like I pray today. The first time you taught, you didn't teach the first time like you teach today. You've got to exercise the gifts that they might be perfected for the ministry. And I know it's your prayer. You've been sitting there frustrated.
Yes.
And you've been sitting there feeling bound up in your spirit, tired of organized church. But won't you try it again? Pray God sends you somewhere where the man or the woman of God is being led by the Spirit of God and open to the move of the things of God, that you might be matured in your gifts and they might be utilized in the capacity wherein God has called you. I hear the words of the song that says, Lord, if you can use anything,
Lord,
won't
use
you
me.
Use me?
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands and my feet, oh.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Lord. Yes, you can.
Oh my God, I can hear the hearts of the people right now saying, Lord, if you can use anything, please use me. Whatever you have given me, Lord, cause it to come to the surface that I may be used. And I can remember even this past week when you can see so much is going on in the world and you can feel God calling you forward. And I remember out of my own mouth, it says, Lord, do something with me. And I know that there's many of you saying, Lord, do something with me. I know I have a purpose, God. What is it? That gift is not something that we use to puff ourselves up or to as a title or status in the church. That gift is to use to heal a broken heart, to give a word to someone that would uplift their bowed down head. It is for the body of Christ. And it also is for that people will know that God is in this place. And remember reading in the word of God, where it says that the giftings, when men walk into the church and they begin to hear someone prophesying or they begin to see someone being healed, out of their mouth they will say, surely the Lord is in this place. And that's the reason why we need the giftings to be in full operation.
And we need them to flow through all of the vessels of God. Because we don't want to set up superstars. I mean, I know you might have a wonderful voice and you might be able to sing and we should hear that gift come from you, but there's 55 other folks that have a voice that can sing that are anointed of God, and we should hear the ministry gift from them as well. There's more than one teacher, more than one preacher, more than one prophetic gift in the body of Christ. We should get to experience all of that which God has placed in the local assembly. That you not come in here and think that if the pastor's not here, there's no word from the Lord. God forbid.
Well, we can't pray.
We can't pray. If so-and-so's not leading the service, then surely God won't show up. God forbid. We're not worshiping a pastor, a singer, a minister. We're worshiping the Lord God Almighty. And that self-same God, hallelujah, this same Jesus, it's the same Jesus that walked the streets of Galilee, the same Jesus that was crucified, that God raised from the dead, the same Jesus that parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel, that fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. This same Jesus works through you if you are spirit-filled, and he will minister through you like he ministers through anyone else if you're in the right position and doing what he called you to do. Now, it won't work for you like it works for someone else. I don't want you to think that when you get up to minister that you're going to sound like your pastor. He didn't give you the gift that he gave to your pastor. I don't want you to think that when you get up to sing that you're going to sound like a Yolanda Adams or a Fred Hammond, because he didn't give you the gift that he gave to them. But here's what's so wonderful, LJ Renee. When you get up to pray, when you get up to teach, when you get up to preach, when you get up to sing, you will sing and preach and teach like what he called you to sing and preach and teach like. You will be unique in the ministry gift that God has given to you. And God wants to hear from you and hear you do what he called you Amen. To do. He may have called you to be ministry of help. Somebody's got to hold up the pastor's arm. He may have called you to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Somebody's got to pray at the altar. I don't know what he called you to do, but he called you to do something more than to sit on the back pew and watch everybody else do ministry. He called you to win souls, to be ministers of reconciliation, to love him with your whole heart, mind, and soul, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you to do something. He anointed you for purpose. He's given you a purpose, and he wants you to use everything that he's given you. Don't die with anything untapped in your Amen. Spirit. Don't go to the grave with anything left undone. But when you die, make sure that you can say, all that you have given to me, Lord, I have given to them. I have finished my course. I have fought my fight, God, and I am ready to be received up into glory because I have done everything you called me to do.
Amen. And when we talk about that we have, the body of Christ have many members. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, it talks about this. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. He said, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, hand, I am not of the body. It is therefore not of the body. Sometimes we can feel like we should be in one place when that's not the place we should be in the body of Christ. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And many times we're looking on the outward part. We're looking at the hands and the feet and the eyes. But then when you drop down, he said, it's the comely parts that really that have the most importance. Matter of fact, those are the parts that you cannot see. If you look in your own body, the most important, the most vital part of your body are your internal organs. If you didn't have a heart, if you didn't have the lungs, if you didn't have the ribs, if you didn't have the stomach, it could not function.
LJ Renee, I watched my mom for a few years sit on a dialysis machine because her kidneys did not function. Mm-hmm. All across this world, many times a week, people go to sit on the dialysis machine where it functions in place of their kidneys, and they go on a wait list hoping someone will give them a kidney that they're willing to give up to them because their kidneys don't work. Let me tell you, if your kidneys stop working, you don't know what they look like. You've never seen them. You've never honored them. But if they stop working, you will cease to be on this earth. I mean, even the least comely of all parts is your bowels. I mean, we don't want to think about it, but let them back up and lock up on you. I guarantee you, you won't be with us very long. If your bowels cease to work, you won't be with us long. I mean, everything inside, you can't see it. It doesn't have any comeliness. It's not that thing that you celebrate. But if those organs that you mentioned, if they stop working, everything that you think is so wonderful, how pretty you look and how wonderful you look, how you comb your hair and dress up the outside, none of that will be important because we'll have to lay you in a box and you won't be among the land of the living if your internal organs don't work. So whatever God has called you to do, no matter how insignificant we might have made you feel it is, it's important to the body of Christ. You have something we need. I mean, wasn't that a song Hezekiah sung once a few years ago? I need you and you need me. We are part of God's family. I can't function without you. I need my blood to flow from my heart to my organs. I need the blood to flow from the organs when it has no more oxygen to go back up to the lungs to get reoxygenated. I need to be able to breathe through my nose and speak through my mouth and hear through my ears, see through my eyes and walk with my feet. I need every part of the body to function effectively and efficiently. We need you and the gifts that God has given you. And we need our busy bees to get out of the place that you wasn't called to fill. You say, well, nobody wanted to do it. Sometimes you need to move out of the way and give people the opportunity to do it. I mean, sometimes you need to allow those gifts to step up to the plate that they might fulfill that void. But it's really them wanting to do it. But every time they think they get ready to do it, you keep jumping into place. We got to get out of the place that we haven't been called to fill so that those who are not as energetic as the rest of us can slowly move into the position that God has called them. We see you in the back of the church. We see you on the fringes of the sanctuary. Won't you get in the water while he's troubling the water? Won't you step in while God is moving? Won't you do what he called you to do? You've been frustrated and wondering, when is God going to use me? Why did God call me? Maybe he didn't really call me. Yes, he did really call you. Yes, he did really anoint you. Now you've got to get up and do what he called you to do.
I just pray that there is a teaching, a training of the people in the congregation. That's my prayer, is that people know what their giftings are and that they are trained and they are allowed to operate in the body of Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this message, oh God. But we know that this is your heart. You're speaking. You're calling forth for your giftings. You're calling forth for the governmental gifts, the apostle, the prophet, oh God, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to come forth, dear Father God, and equip the saints, oh Father, to bring us into maturity, God, till we all come into the knowledge of who you are and who your dear son is, that we would, Lord, reflect who Christ is in the earth, oh God, because we're in our place. We're doing the things that should be done. And dear Father, not only that, but that the giftings that you've given, dear Father, it will be for the healing, dear Father, of your people. Lord, we thank you and we count it as done, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.